Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Hello, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to our End Abortion Podcast. It is Friday, the 19th of October of 2018. Well, I'm a regular columnist for Newsmax.com. I want to encourage you to go there regularly, read and comment and share on the articles that are posted there. I have a regular column. And just the other day, they published another one of my articles, which I want to share with you today on this podcast. The title, Gosnell, Late-Term Abortion and the Midterm Elections. Here's the article. Whatever a person's position on the divisive issue of abortion, one would think and hope that at the very least, people can agree that babies who are born alive and are completely separated from their mother's body should be protected by law. Well, as it turns out, not even that protection is secure. About 13,000 abortions a year in the United States occur at or beyond 21 weeks of pregnancy. Phone calls with legal abortion clinics that I have commissioned and that you can hear at exposeabortion.net show that abortions are being performed legally even at 32 weeks of pregnancy on healthy mothers carrying healthy babies. The further along in pregnancy an abortion occurs, the more difficult it is to tear the pieces of the body apart with the forceps. The methods used in late pregnancy, therefore, are essentially a stillbirth. The baby is killed and then delivered whole. It's simpler for the abortionist and avoids the risk of the skull and bone fragments tearing the mother's birth canal. But the downside for the abortionists is the increased risk of what they call the dreaded complication, which is that the baby comes out alive. What does a person do who has been paid to kill the baby? Under the moral fiction that as long as the killing takes place in the womb, it's okay, when that baby comes out of the womb alive? Does the abortionist complete the job he or she was paid to do? Or suddenly shift gears and save the life he or she was just trying to end? Unfortunately, it's not as easy a question for them to answer as it should be. In 2001, I helped nurse Jill Stanek tell her story of how when working at Christ Hospital in Illinois, she held a baby for the last 45 minutes of his life after he was born alive following an abortion. Currently, the case of Philadelphia abortionist Kermit Gosnell, sentenced to life in prison for murdering babies born alive in his abortion clinic, is getting renewed attention thanks to the film that was made about him. His staff testified as to how those aborted babies were crying, moving their arms, breathing, and swimming in the toilet, and how Gosnell routinely cut their spinal cord with scissors. Please see the movie. So clear is the evidence that this happens regularly that both in state and federal law, born alive infant protection bills have been debated and passed in recent years. These bills would protect babies born alive after a failed abortion. Barack Obama, when an Illinois state senator, actually voted no on such a bill. When such a bill was being debated in Florida, a Planned Parenthood lobbyist named Elisa Lapolt Snow testified and was asked this question. If a baby is born on a table as a result of a botched abortion, what would Planned Parenthood want to have happen to that child that is struggling for life? She responded, "We believe that any decision that's made should be left up to the woman, her family, and the physician." That was published in theweeklystandard.com. Wow. Can anyone say conscience? In 2002, Congress passed a federal born alive bill, and it was signed into law by President George W. Bush. But now, Congress has had to revisit and try to strengthen that law because it lacked adequate penalties. In the Congress now concluding, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, H.R. 4712, was introduced and passed by the House of Representatives. It mandates that any child born alive after a failed abortion be transported to a hospital. Simple, right? Well, it was passed by the House in January of 2018 by a vote of 241 to 183. All Republicans voted for it, but only five Democrats voted for it. All the rest voted against it. Those who voted for it were Matt Cartwright of Pennsylvania, Henry Cuellar of Texas, Jim Langevin of Rhode Island, Dan Lipinski of Illinois, and Colin Peterson of Minnesota. The Senate did not take action on it. As we come down to the home stretch of the midterm elections of 2018, it's worth asking a question of the Democrats. Do they really oppose protecting babies who are already alive outside the womb? Is there something about the party line that requires members of Congress to support infanticide? In every House race, the Democrat candidate should be asked about his or her vote on the Born Alive Act. Should a baby born alive, even after an abortion, be protected or not? As the nation watches anew in horror the Gosnell story, it's an excellent opportunity to challenge voters to make sure they choose public servants who know the difference between serving the public and killing the public, and to realize that if a politician can't respect the life of a little baby, how's he supposed to respect yours? And that concludes the column. Yes, brothers and sisters, it is a crucially important topic in this election. And at ProLifeVote.com, we have information there for you about this bill, this vote. We have the roll call. You can see your House of Representatives and Senate, how they dealt with this issue with the Senate, and once again did not take it up. But the voting records of the members of the House, all of whom have their terms expire now and either run for re-election or somebody else runs for their seat, it's time to ask these candidates where they stand on this particular measure. And we have on record the House Democrats, again, with one handful of exceptions, voting not to protect these babies. We cannot go into this election and fail to challenge them on this point. Challenge them. Again, the information you'll find there at ProLifeVote.com. Well, thank you, friends. This is Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life. God bless you, and thanks for joining us on the End Abortion Podcast.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.